Episode number 21 of the podcast is brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Head over to firstrow.ca and use the promo code FNP at checkout for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu Mouthguards, definitely the best boil and bite mouthguard I've ever had. Head on over to sisuguard.com and use the promo code FNP10 to save 10% on your order today.
Ladies and gentlemen, recorded in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, it's time for the Fight Night Picks podcast with your host, Craig Allen.
All right, it's Tuesday, June 26th. We got a lot of news coming at you today. Fight Night Picks podcast, episode number 22. Let's get into it. All right. Episode number 22 of the podcast. So I'm going to give you a recap of the fights from this past weekend. We've got a lot of news to cover, like I said, from even the last couple of days. And then we're going to break down tonight's Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series matchups, even though they're kind of ongoing right now at this point. We'll just talk about them briefly and get a little bit of an introduction into them. And I'm back from a long weekend in Boston. I mean, finals week, finally over. I had a couple of final exams last week, and I've got the week off. So all sorts of Fight Night Picks things coming at you this week. So from this past week, last week, you had PFL number 2 on Thursday from Chicago. Lots of good fights on the card. Some of the more important matchups, I guess. You had Thiago Tavares taking on Robert Whatley. You know, Tavares was a former UFC vet. And tough groin shot by Whatley in the second round of that fight. Tavares was given, you know, the token 5 minutes amount to, or 5 minutes to recover, but he couldn't go on. So, you know, typically something like this would result in a no contest, but in Illinois, they actually have a rule that a TKO is possible by low blow. So Tavares said he couldn't continue. I mean, they brought a doctor in, and Whatley was given the TKO win in the second round. So Tavares right now appealing the loss, but he's definitely in a tough spot right now. And then last week's up-and-comer that I had was Rashid Yusupov. He's in a tough spot as well. Former M1 Global light heavyweight champ. He was taking on Rakeem Cleveland. I said pick Yusupov, but it was kind of a tough, you know, uppercut that Cleveland threw at the end of the second round, and Yusupov retired on the stool going into the third round. So they called it a 1 second TKO due to jaw injury. Weird uppercut from the clinch in the second round, and that was that. So Rakeem Cleveland getting some points out of that there. You also have Vinny Malgalesh. He was able to secure the rear naked choke win over Jamie Abdallah. So he gets 6 points in the PFL system, where that was a first round finish. You also had Efrain Escudero, former UFC fighter. He was able to get a third round guillotine win over Jason High, but no points were awarded because Escudero came in overweight, which is a pretty good thing that PFL's done here. We've talked about it before, where M1, if you miss weight, you lose a point in the first round. And in this fight, Escudero really missed weight and doesn't get any points for the win. I mean, typically that'd be what? That'd be 4 points for a third round finish. But no points for Escudero in that one. Also on the card, you had Kayla Harrison, you know, former U.S. Judo gold medalist. She beat Brittany Elkin by first round armbar. Really smart signing by PFL. I figured that Harrison, if she's going to cross over into MMA, an organization, perhaps an LFA or Bellator would sign her, but PFL with a great signing there and an impressive win by Harrison. You also had Brian Foster on the card. He was able to secure 4 points to get a third round win over Ramsey Nijim. Fight was neck and neck, could have gone either way after the first two, but Foster able to throw a couple of spinning back kicks, threw two in a row, and yeah, after that, dropped him with a flying knee. So he got the win by ground and pound TKO. Masterful win, really, by Brian Foster. A lot of knockouts on that guy's record, and somebody to have a look at in PFL. And then in your main event, you had hometown kid Will Brooks beating Luis Firmino by unanimous decision. And that ended a 3-fight losing skid for Brooks. So another impressive event for PFL in the regular season, and can't wait for PFL number 3. Also last week at LFA 43 on Friday from Beaumont, Texas, main event lived up to the hype. I mean, you had the best in the best division, I guess I should say. Middleweight bout between Brandon Allen and Larry Crow. Allen had 3 knockouts, 5 submission wins on his record, and recent losses to Eric Anders and Anthony Hernandez. And both of those guys wound up in the UFC. Crow was 1-3 in his last 4, and that win was by split decision. And one of those losses was Ryan Spann, who just got a contract on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series last week. So Allen, able to get the early first round knockout finish. I mean, he dropped Crow, who was moving in with his hands outstretched. And he kind of ducked left and threw a counter hook and dropped him. And I mean, I wonder what's next for Brandon Allen. I'd like to ask a few people, you know, their thoughts. Because, you know, his 2 most recent losses were to Eric Anders and Anthony Hernandez. And he can't fight the champion, Heinisch, who's competing on week 7 of Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series against Justin Sumpner. So it kind of makes for interesting matchmaking in LFA for sure. And your co-main event on that card, you had Jake Heffernan. He was able to push his unbeaten streak to 7 with a unanimous decision win over Peter Sononik. So that's another tough spot that LFA is kind of in matchmaking-wise, because does it set up a matchup with Than Lee or Kevin Aguilar? And I also saw a piece from former guest Nolan King for Flow Combat that kind of made the case that Kevin Aguilar should be the next to get a call-up to the UFC. And I mean, Lee would be a tough test for him, but it'd be a really important fight if Heffernan intends on making it to that next level. So there's a lot of matchups to make in LFA for sure. Also last week on Saturday, you had 1 championship from Beijing, Pinnacle of Power. 2 title fights on that card. Your main event was between 1 mainstay, 17-2, Adriano Moraes, taking on 10-6, Jehei Eustaquio. And I said take Moraes because he's been at the top of the division in 1 for quite some time now. Also beat Eustaquio in 2014 by second round submission. And Moraes, the BJJ black belt. But Eustaquio was able to grind out another decision win to throw on his record by split decision. And the takedowns mostly won in the fight, which again, it was kind of strange where Moraes, BJJ black belt. But Moraes, he's now 17-3 with all 3 losses by split decision. So pretty tough for him. And hopefully he'll be back up at the top of the flyweight division. And we'll get to see him compete for another championship. Your co-main event was a women's strawweight title fight. You had the Chinese national, Zhang Jinan, taking on 10-2, Laura Ballin. Ballin hadn't fought in about 2 years, so I'd said take Jinan. You know, she had a strong background in boxing and one of the top talents in China right now, one of their only MMA champions. And she put on a clinic in front of her home crowd. She retained her belt with a unanimous decision win. I mean, her striking and her takedowns look really good against the Argentinian in Ballin. So great win there for Jinan. Your biggest card from this past weekend was UFC Fight Night 132 Singapore. I was able to watch a little bit of it live. Woke up pretty early there in Boston on the weekend before we got going. Some of the more important bouts on the card, actually, you know, you had a premier flyweight bout, the second bout on the card between Shudo vet Ulka Sasaki, and he was taking on a 7-0 Filipino boxer. Also, you know, he's been in the UFC and he's fought MMA, but Janelle Lauza. Sasaki was able to get the second round rear naked choke win, and now he's got 12 submission wins on his record. He's sitting at 21-5-2, but he's 4-4 in the UFC. And post fight, I noticed an article by MMA junkies Ben Folks, who noted that Sasaki called out Sergio Pettis, which is really strange because after the fight, Sasaki moved up to 15th in the UFC's flyweight division. And Pettis, he's a potential title challenger after the DJ Cejudo matchup, UFC 227. So something to make note of. I don't really think Sasaki's going to get that fight, but you never know what's next for him now that he's ranked. Hopefully he's able to fight higher up in the division. Also on the undercard, you had a welterweight bout between 10-2 Shinzo Anjai, and he was taking on 13-3 Jake Matthews. I mean, Matthews won his last fight against Li Jingliang, and Jingliang was fighting on the main card, which was kind of strange in my opinion. But the Celtic Kid, Matthews, -550 favorite in the fight against one of the best beards in the UFC. You know, early on Anzai, he looked to push the pace. He got caught by a knee on a level change going into the cage. They clinched up a bit. Once they broke it up, Matthews was able to get a takedown, and he threw a lot of heavy shots and from you know, guard, and he was able to get onto Anzai's back for the rear naked choke finish at near the end of the first round. And I mean, that's 3 wins in a row for Matthews dating back to last November. So you kind of wonder what's next ahead for Jake Matthews. Also on the undercard, probably the biggest fight of note for me was a big win for Peter Yan in his UFC debut. You know, He's former ACB Bantamweight champ, Tiger Muay Thai, and he was able to close the distance early against Ishihara. And, you know, canceled out the takedown attempt early from Ishihara. His striking looked good. He had great distance management. And at the same time, he kept switching up looks and switching stances. And, you know, Yan was able to throw a lot of effective combos there and drop Ishihara. And then once the fight got back up on the feet, Yan got the knockout. I mean, it was a great debut for him. And the sky's the limit in that bantamweight division. So definitely somebody to have a look at in Peter Yan. On your main card, your first fight was Li Jingliang. He was taking on Daichi Abe. I said take Jingliang. Trains with China Top Team. Big deal. 14-5 in this. And, you know, Abe, he was coming off his first loss in his last fight against Luke Jumo. And Jingliang had a lot of fun. I was able to watch that one live. And he outstruck Abe for the majority of the fight. Won by unanimous decision. And he's still hanging on at welterweight, despite his last loss, like I said, against Jake Matthews, where he had that nasty eye gouge at UFC 221. Fight after that, you had an interesting matchup between number 9, Jessica Rose Clark, and she's taking on number 10, Jessica I at flyweight. And I was really surprised by the way that it played out. I mean, I was able to outstrike Clark 67-51, albeit it was at a lower percentage, but she was able to shore up the win. She had a really dominant third round and took, you know, Jessica Rose Clark down and outstruck her. So a lot of interesting matchups to be made at 125 as a result of this fight. And, you know, you have Ai, she moved down from bantamweight, and she's won her last two at 125. So really good things coming from Jessica Ai there. Your co-main event was a light heavyweight matchup. You had OSP taking on Tyson Pedro. And what did I say on Thursday? I said expect something funky from OSP to get the win. And what happened? I mean, Pedro had St. Preux rocked, threw him a hard right high kick, and followed it up by a right straight, dropped him. And he had a pretty tight standing guillotine there. But St. Preux was able to escape. He took Pedro down, shored up Pedro's left leg, and then landed a lot of hard shots from the top. And then he just kind of grabbed Pedro's right arm and extended it into a straight arm lock and won by submission. So I don't know what's next for OSP. I'd like to get, you know, your thoughts on it. I mean, he could fight the current number 5, Jan Blachowicz, and he's coming off a win over Jimmy Manuel in March, but you know, he's fought guys like Glover Teixeira in the past, and Teixeira's already got a fight coming up. So I think the Blachowicz fight for OSP would be pretty interesting, and I think he's got a good shot in that one as well. Your main event, your crowd favorite, Donald Cerrone, and he's taking on up-and-comer Leon Rocky Edwards. And I said, take Leon Edwards, you know, by decision, and I kind of cited his win over Vicente Luque as kind of a good example of this matchup. So Edwards, he outstruck Cowboy 84-60 for the 48-47 unanimous decision win. And after the fight, he called out Jorge Masvidal. And Masvidal accepted. So matchup right now is slated for UFC 230, which would almost be a year to the day from Masvidal's last fight against Wonderboy at UFC 217, which was also New York as well. So interesting matchmaking there for sure. And that welterweight division, you got to watch it in the UFC. So right now, I'd like to thank our sponsors. You know, we're brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Head on over to their website at firstrow.ca and check out their selection of, geez, I got MMA autographs, wrestling memorabilia, hockey cards, the list goes on. I mean, I was over there today. I saw they had a nice Cody Bellinger rookie card. There's some pictures signed by UFC vet Roland DeLorme, and they've also got some cards signed by Slapshot champ Ally Frady. You know, I really remember him growing up. Everybody wanted to have Slapshot that hard, so pretty neat there. Like I said, they've got a large selection of sports collectibles and autographs, and I'm sure you'll be able to find something. So for our listeners only, enter the promo code FNP at checkout for free shipping. And as a reminder, prices on the site are all in Canadian dollars. So to our American listeners, keep in mind, right now with the exchange, you'll be saving roughly 25% by ordering with First Row. We're also brought to you today by Sisu Mouthguards. I mean, I reached out to them as I've had a Sisu Mouthguard for a number of years now. And the one game that I didn't wear it, of course, I lost my front tooth, which was a pain for sure. So right now, they've just partnered up with Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, which is a national childhood cancer research foundation dedicated to raising funds, you know, for research into new treatments and cures for children battling cancer. So from June of this year to June of next year, every yellow mouthguard purchased from their site, either the Aero or Junior styles, will result in a 10% donation to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. So if you head on over to their website, SISU Guard, use a promo code FNP10, and make sure you buy a yellow mouthguard, you'll be donating to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, which is really great. So like I said at the opening of the show, I've got a lot of news for you from the past few days. There's lots to go over. So I'm going to start it off. I had a poll on Twitter just to try and gauge reaction, see what most people were interested in. And so I'm going to go over what I put on there. So from Ariel Helwani's new show on ESPN, which aired on Monday, you know, you had all sorts of different guests, all sorts of big news. Probably one of the bigger bits of news from the show was that Rashad Evans announced his retirement. And I mean, Rashad, he lost 5 in a row. He was 2-7 in his last 9. But the guy's former light heavyweight champ, won season 2 of the Ultimate Fighter at heavyweight, and he's a surefire Hall of Famer. And I mean, he's definitely got a bright future too on the MMA scene, whether it's broadcasting or whatnot. So nice to see, you know, Rashad Evans finally hanging it up, and I'm sure we'll see more of him on the scene. Another tidbit of news from Peter Carroll at MMA Fighting. I saw that Fight Nights Global announced that they released Nikita Krylov, and I guess he's set to make a return to the UFC, hopefully for the Moscow event this summer, September. You know, he went 6-3 in the UFC and recently beat Fabio Maldonado to win Fight Night Global's light heavyweight belt. But he's another guy. Could be a good matchup for OSP. Like I said, he's looking for a fight. Could be Jan Blachowicz, but Krylov kind of makes sense for September. And OSP, if you remember, has a win by Von Flu over Krylov from 2014. So could be some interesting matchup there. But probably the biggest news from the last, day or two. I mean, let's get into the Bellator news. I'm going to have a guest on later on this week, and we're going to break it down a little bit more. And I think you're really going to like that. But I'm going to delve into it just a bit. So today it was announced there's a new deal between Bellator and DAZN. And if you're unfamiliar with DAZN, the acronym's DAZN. They're an on-demand sports platform. They're located in London. They've been active here in Canada since 2017, and they distribute NFL games online. So, I mean, I can watch it from the PS4. You can watch NFL content from DAZN. But, yeah, they recently entered the U.S. market last month, and they announced a possible $1 billion deal with Eddie Hearn's Matchroom Boxing, who I saw sparring a little bit with Brendan Schaub on the old Twitter box. But, huge deal for DAZN with Bellator. And as far as it goes with them, they're going to feature 7 exclusive stack cards per year. And then Bellator is going to have another 15 cards that are going to be broadcast on Paramount Network and DAZN. So kind of follows in the footsteps of the ESPN Plus deal with UFC. But interesting that there's exclusive things just for DAZN that are going to be, you know, these stack cards. And at the same time, they're going to be marketing through Paramount Network and DAZN for 15 extra cards. So a total of 22 per year. That's a lot of fights for sure. And then again, another big announcement that came out of this is that the deal kicks off September 29th from SAP Center, which is Bellator's home in San Jose. And the main event for that bout, or for that card rather, is going to be a middleweight championship bout between Gegard and Rory McDonald. So a champ-champ fight. We're finally going to get it. Also on that card, your co-main is going to be the fourth fight between Rampage Jackson and Wanderlei Silva. And so far, Silva's, you know, won the matchup 2-1 so far. It's going to happen at heavyweight, which I find kind of interesting. I mean, Rampage has dabbled at heavyweight recently, but Wanderlei Silva, he's more of a light heavyweight. Realistically, he's a middleweight, but it'll be interesting to see him fight at heavyweight. Right now, as it stands, I would honestly take Rampage to win the fight. I mean, both guys have fought Chael Sonnen in Bellator. Chael's been able to come out on top in both those fights, but I would hazard a guess to say that Rampage would win just based on experience being a heavyweight. But yeah, Wanderlei Silva, Rampage, turning back the clock. I mean, the last time these guys fought, I think it was at UFC 92, which was almost, you know, once we get up to it, almost 10 years ago. So an interesting matchup there. But also, this card's going to kick off a welterweight Grand Prix. You're going to have names like Andre Koroshkov, Paul Daly, John Fitch, Lorenz Larkin, MVP, and former champ Douglas Lima competing on that. And if that wasn't enough, Bellator also announced the signing of Lyoto Machida. So apparently, the deal that Machida signed with Bellator, UFC had the chance to match it, and they matched it, but Machida decided that, you know, he had given Scott Coker his word, and he kept good on the promise. So Bellator's making moves and starting grooves before they knew he was gone, and they're loading up. I also saw on Twitter that, you know, Patricky and Patricio Pitbull brothers, they're both still trying to petition to fight on the Rome card, and they both called out Daniel Weichel and Michael Chandler for using performance enhancers. So both guys pretty fired up today. And all sorts of news with Bellator. And then just a little bit more from Ariel Helwani's show as well. Daniel Cormier was on there, and he's competing UFC 226 next weekend, taking on Stipe. That's a champ-champ matchup at heavyweight. But he, Daniel Cormier, said that he intends on having a fight with Brock Lesnar and then another fight with Jon Jones and then retiring. So he and Jones, they kind of sparred back and forth on Twitter. But these matchups are definitely interesting where, you know, both guys that that DC called out, they're both kind of serving suspensions for performance enhancers. So it's kind of interesting there for sure. And you wonder what, you know, what DC's actual plan is. I mean, he's one of the better broadcasters out there. I like him on a team with either Jimmy Smith and John Anik or Joe Rogan and John Anik. He's really good at the back and forth calling fights. So interesting for DC and lots of news. And we'll see how it plays out this week. And also, like I said, later on this week, I'll have a guest that'll help me break down some of this Bellator news just a little bit more. So this week's up-and-comer, fighting on Thursday's Bama Fight Night London. 6-0 with 2 no contests. It's Chai Chopper Lewis Perry. So he had a 4-year layoff from 2014 until this spring. Then he fought at a co-main event at Bama 34 against Stav Economou. And that fight ended in no contest because Chai, he had Economou in, you know, the clinch position that Travis Brown had Josh Barnett and Gabriel Gonzaga in. And he started dropping those elbows and they looked pretty darn good to me. But Leon Roberts seemed to think they weren't. Brought the doctor in, the fight was stopped, so it was called a no contest. But all of Lewis Perry's wins, they've all come by finish. He trains at AKA in the States, and he's 6'9", listed by BAM. I've seen him 6'7", elsewhere, but 6'9". I mean, he's taken on 13-7 Lukács Porobiec, and, you know, Lukács, he's 1-3 in his last four. He's got a notable loss to Karol Selensky, who just fought at ACB 88, but those two guys fought at ACB 53 last year. I mean, look for Lewis Perry to get the finish. It's a can't-miss type fight. And also, the main event of that card, another champ-champ fight. You've got the lightweight belt on the line between champ 7-1-1 Rice McKee, and he's taking on the welterweight champ 9-1 Terry Brazier. So that's Thursday starting at 1 o'clock Atlantic in the afternoon. And that's can't-miss for me. I'm going to be paying attention to Bama, where I have the week off on Thursday. Definitely a great fight card coming up for you. And like I said, I'm going to give you a bit of a preview from tonight's week number 3 Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series. Fights start at 9 o'clock p.m. Atlantic, and right now it's 9:37 for me, so I got to get on the horse. I'll give you a rundown quick, and then you and I can go watch the fight. So, card starts off with middleweights, former Bellator fighters, 9-1 Tim Caron. He's taking on 7-2 Jordan Williams. I see Jordan Williams is really kind of, if you can say it, He's a poster boy for athletes fighting and playing sports with diabetes, which is a great thing to see. I know my Montreal Canadiens just went out and got Max Domi, and he's a huge inspiration to a lot of kids who are, you know, they have diabetes and they're looking to play sports and being able to manage those two. So a really good story there with Jordan Williams. And he recently won at Bellator 199 in May, got a win over Brandon Hester. And I mean, both these two guys, Caron and Williams, they're ready to throw down. So it should be a great matchup. You also have a couple featherweights with lots of experience. You've got LFA's 13-3 Jamal Emmers, and he's taken on 21-5 Ultimate Fighter 22 competitor Julian Arosa. Juicy J, Julian Arosa, has a loss from Ultimate Fighter 22 against the greatest of all time, Artem Lobov. And if you really look at Arosa's record, he's got 18 finishes, 9 by knockout, 9 by submission. So again, another fight, great matchup. You've also got a heavyweight bout between 24-8 Greg Rebello taking on 6-2 Josh Parisian. And I saw another piece by Nolan King on Twitter that it could be Rebello's, you know, last shot at UFC glory. But if you look into it, he beat Travis Wiouf at CES 48 in February, won their heavyweight belt. He also competed on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series week 1 last year, and he lost. But he has 2 straight first-round knockout wins, and he's back again. And if you look at Parisian's record, he won his last fight at LFA 38. But, I mean, in the fight before that, he lost by knockout to Tony Lopez. And if you know who Tony Lopez is, journeyman fighter, recently competed at Bare Knuckle FC, geez, about a month ago. And older fella, and still, you know, still giving it in the heavyweight division. But you got to kind of be a little leery with that loss there. So I expect Rebello to get the win in this fight. I mean, he's a tested veteran. And at the same time, you know, tested veteran and Parisian had issues with Tony Lopez, so I could see it going Ribeiro's way in this fight. You also have a lightweight bout on the card between 4-1, all first-round knockout or TKO wins. Tay Edwards, he's taken on 8-1 Austin Tweedy, and all of Tweedy's wins are by submission. But where this is the contender series, I see this fight, you know, I don't really know how it's going to play out, but it's usually such a quick pace, and these guys are going for broke and trying to impress Dana White so much that it could go either way. But it's great matchmaking for sure. They're pitting two different styles against each other, and it should be a great bout between Edwards and Tweedy. And then in your main event, it's a women's flyweight bout between Antonina Shevchenko and Jamie Rivera. You know, Shevchenko was originally supposed to fight Silvana Gomez-Juarez, but she had to leave due to injury. So you got Jamie Rivera brought into the fight. It's another tough one to call. I mean, Shevchenko's 5-0, but her last four wins have all been by decision. And Rivera just fought June 8th and beat Katie Collins by decision. So it's another tough matchup, an interesting fight. And I'm for sure going to be watching Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series tonight, and I hope you will be as well. So we'll be back again on Friday, most likely during One Championship Spirit of the Warrior. And I'm going to go over all of Friday's cards. I mean, you've got Bellator 201, you've got LFA 44, Fight Nights Global Summer Cup, and you also have the Jean-Pascal Steve Bosse fight from the Bell Center in Montreal on Friday. It's not televised, but I'm definitely going to be going over it, where Bosse used to fight in the UFC and Jean-Pascal's a former boxing champion. So we'll see you again on Friday. Be back with a few different guests and get some different and interesting takes on all the different things that are going on with Bellator. Really exciting stuff. So see you again on Friday.